dried and tanned. There was another where heads and feet were made into glue, and another where bones were made into fertilizer. No tiniest particle of organic matter was wasted in Durham's. Out of the horns of the cattle they made combs, buttons, hairpins, and imitation ivory. Out of the shin bones and other big bones they cut knife and toothbrush handles, and mouthpieces for pipes. Out of the hoofs they cut hairpins and buttons, before they made the rest into glue. From such things as feet, knuckles, hide clippings, and sinews came such strange and unlikely products as gelatin, isinglass, and phosphorus, bone black, shoe blacking, and bone oil. They had curled hair works for the cattle tails, and a wool pullery for the sheepskins. They made pepsin from the stomachs of the pigs, and albumen from the blood, and violin strings from the ill-smelling entrails. When there was nothing else to be done with a thing, they first put it into a tank and got out of it all the tallow and grease, and then they made it into fertilizer. All these industries were gathered into buildings nearby, connected by galleries and railroads with the main establishment. And it was estimated that they had handled nearly a quarter of a billion of animals since the founding of the plant by the elder Durham a generation and more ago. If you counted with it the other big plants, and they were now really all one, it was, so Jacobus informed them, the greatest aggregation of labor and capital ever gathered in one place. It employed 30,000 men. It supported directly 250,000 people in its neighborhood, and indirectly it supported 500,000. It sent its products to every country in the civilized world, and it furnished the food for no less than 30,000,000 people. To all these things our friends would listen open-mouthed. It seemed to them impossible of belief that anything so stupendous could have been devised by mortal man. That was why, to Jurgis, it seemed almost profanity to speak about the place as did Jacobus, skeptically. It was a thing as tremendous as the universe, the laws and ways of its working no more than the universe to be questioned or understood. All that a mere man could do, it seemed to Jurgis, was to take a thing like this as he found it, and do as he was told. To be given a place in it, and a share in its wonderful activities was a blessing to be grateful for, as one was grateful for the sunshine and the rain. Jurgis was even glad that he had not seen the place before meeting with his triumph, for he felt that the size of it would have overwhelmed him. But now he had been admitted. He was a part of it all.